This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we are answering your questions. Your questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. We are your coronavirus central these days.
Oh, my goodness.
Because there's a lot of apprehension about coronavirus. We're going to talk a little bit about coronavirus before we get to your actual questions, some of which are understandably about coronavirus.
Yeah, we have a few emails.
Okay.
Dr. Hoffman.
Have you taken your temperature yet this morning?
No, I'm all right.
Okay. All systems go.
You know, right.
It's a remarkable thing because the atmosphere is a little bit like, the only analogy I can think of is what it's like during hurricane season here in New York, and you see some islands, you know, completely wiped off the map.
Yeah.
And they're thousands of miles away, but you know that the hurricane track could take it right up New York Harbor,
sure.
You know, Long Island, Connecticut, Jersey Shore, and create great devastation. So we're waiting in with apprehension, a lot of apprehension.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, you know, they went by Trader Joe's, and there was this big line outside of Trader Joe's, and they said, "Oh, are they having a special event there? Are they demoing some new products? Or are they having some special night there or something?" They said, "No, we're getting our supplies."
Whoa, for the big quarantine?
Yeah, it's like milk and bread,
you know? At Trader Joe's.
Or
get your cauliflower rice.
Cauliflower rice and
and your frozen wild Alaskan salmon.
Right, your quinoa and granola.
Right, and your fair trade coffee. And, exactly.
Yeah, it's people are stocking up. The shelves are, are getting threadbare. And also, it's impossible to get disinfectant. I was talking to one of the practitioners here in the office, and her husband owns a market, and she says it's good for him because he says they're just like, they're just
flying off the shelf.
You know, all the Purell, all the disinfectant soaps, you know, gone. You know, and masks are unobtainable.
Yeah.
Which is a problem because for the people who, they don't really work, and for the people who really need them, you know, potentially in the hospital.
What's going to work? It's got to be a respirator type mask.
But it not only does it be respirator mask, but it needs to be properly fitted. And then there's these crazy diagrams of the kind of facial hair you can have for the coronavirus masks. And only certain facial hair is permissible because if you have like big mutton chops or if you have like a handlebar mustache or if you have a hipster beard, it's not going to work. However, if you have what is called a brush mustache, which is kind of like an Adolf Hitler mustache.
Oh, my. That little toothbrush mustache.
Toothbrush, it's called.
Yeah.
It'll work.
Uh-huh.
A little background on that is that Hitler, during World War I, was a victim of a gas attack. And, you know, if you look at pictures of Europeans in the 19th century before World War I, there was a lot of facial hair. You know, Prince Albert, who was
who abdicated.
Was he? Anyway, he had that beard and, you know, Queen Victoria's husband. And so that was the 19th century. By the 20th century, men began to shave. But there may be a practical reason for that, is that they were using gas masks, mm-hmm. and you know, beards were incompatible for soldiers. Besides, they were sitting in the trenches, they would get lice in you know, in their beards. That's so true. They had to begin shaving. So then, if you look at movies, typically in the early silent era, they're all virtually all clean shaven, except for villains, maybe, or men who were elderly would wear beards, you know, as a reflection of the 19th century. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so a segue. It is interesting because there are a couple of people in New York State, mm-hmm. the whole state, who are sick with coronavirus.
Yes.
They pretty much know how they obtained it, but it may, for all we know, it may be circulating around. You know, there are some people who have sniffles and coughs and fevers, mm-hmm. and they're just a shortage of test kits. Or people may just say, I'll, you know, manage this on my own. You know.
Well, you know, interestingly, somebody wrote here that Gene says, I wonder how many infected people flew into the U.S. between the start of the disease and the travel ban.
Right.
And could it be that lots of people who had, quote, bad colds, end quote, this winter actually had COVID-19?
That's
and only those few who ended up with more severe symptoms sought treatment.
Some people have said that. You know, I actually talked to a person who said, I think I had the coronavirus. I was so sick. I've never been sick like this before. I usually can just get a cold, and I was having, like, trouble breathing.
Hmm.
But this was before all the publicity, and they said it wasn't here.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I mean, I guess that's possible. It's not likely.
Yeah.
You know, there's enough background colds and flus this time of year
mm-hmm.
To make it confusing, very confusing. Yeah. And without proper test kits, mm-hmm. we won't know. Plus, a lot of people may be reluctant to go to the doctor's office because if you're not sick now, you definitely will be if you go to the doctor.
Right, right. That's another thing, right? Well, Margie writes that I've been listening about the information from about all of this, and it appears it's more serious and worrisome than what you are saying, Dr. Hoffman. But thank you so much in advance. And Cheryl says, thank you for your calm, sensible reporting
well,
about all this. So we're getting a spectrum of...
There's a real disparate potential for this. You know, just like with a hurricane, the similar analogy is that there's a great big buildup and it's bearing down and it's class 5 and, you know, it's going to have the destructive power of, you know, 800 tornadoes. And then it jogs off to one side and it ends up going out into the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
There is the possibility that this is overblown, that what we'll see by the time it hits, it may have evolved into something milder.
Yeah.
It may also... as the statistics are reflecting, it may kill some people, but thank God this is not like the 1918 flu. The 1918 flu killed like a scythe right through the most demographically vibrant and vital members of the populace, young military recruits, pregnant women, and it was it didn't just hit people who are immunosuppressed.
Yeah.
People who are very strong mm-hmm. died in their prime in mm-hmm. 1918. This appears to be very different, which is reassuring to me, is that people who have underlying health problems, and it's not reassuring to them because, I mean, if you have COPD or if you have diabetes,
that doesn't help.
Look, when you have poor diabetes, it's hard enough to control. As soon as you get an infection, it goes haywire.
Yeah.
It can go, you can end up hospitalized with complications of diabetes,
right.
That makes it harder to fight an infection when you have out of control blood sugar
mm-hmm.
and you're, you know, you
poor
end up...
healers.
Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we had a situation like that with a young man who was a type 1 diabetic and he got an ordinary respiratory infection and it just cascaded. It wasn't during one of these well-known epidemics, but he had a you know, it was in the ICU for it.
Snowballed into
something
else.
Yeah, yeah. Very devastating lung infection,
mm-hmm.
which he survived and he, you know, but so it seems to cull the herd, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think about this in terms of the populace in general. I also think about it in personal terms, like what's the likelihood that I'm going to get coronavirus? I think the likelihood is kind of like right now, I'd say about 50-50. I might get the coronavirus.
Mm.
I am, quote, a senior. I do get Medicare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't take Social Security, but I'm, you know, in that category, which was thought to be at risk mm-hmm. statistically. However, I think I'm a little bit atypical as a senior. I don't have any underlying medical conditions. I consider myself in good health.
You're
in
good health.
I have good cardiorespiratory endurance.
Yeah.
But, you know, this may, as Anthony Fauci, when I heard him speak at the presidential press conference, he said, this is mostly going to affect immunosuppressed peoples. But he said, as with any infection, there could be some outliers. There could be some instances where young, healthy individuals get very sick and
right.
even die.
Yeah.
However, statistically, that is very unlikely.
Yeah.
You know, what I read an article that's very interesting about the psychology of this. And the psychology of this is that the human mind naturally overestimates danger.
Mm.
So if there's a 1% danger of dying from this, well, first of all, this country hasn't experienced the kind of circumstances that brought about a 1 or 2% death rate as in China, because in China there's hundreds of thousands of people who've been affected by this.
Yeah.
In this country, we don't know, but probably, you know, maybe this is the, it hasn't emerged yet that, you know, some people have had it.
What do you say to those who are also saying that this is being blown way out of proportion, this COVID-19, because more people die of the regular old flu?
I think it's a spurious argument. I actually think it's a spurious argument because it's sort of like saying, if you bang your finger with a hammer or something and you go to your wife and you say, you know, I think I banged my finger with a hammer. It's, oh, you should really have something like what if you had cancer? You know, or something like that.
Okay. You know, like, no, I just banged my finger with a hammer.
Like,
thank goodness.
It hurts like hell. You know, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, and
right.
So it is actually statistically much less common,
mm-hmm.
but more deadly than the flu.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
And that's why the anxiety.
And that's why the anxiety and the uncertainty.
Yeah.
And also, because you don't know what you're going to get, you know,
it's like
a poker game. You know, you could be dealt a full house, or you could be dealt, mm-hmm. you know, deuces and fours.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very unpredictable scenario, and so it's generating a lot of fear. A lot of events canceled. Expo West, which is the biggest natural products exhibition in the country, canceled.
Wow.
There are tens of thousands of people who attend that, and there's thousands and thousands of exhibitors and booths. It's the major retail event of the health stores.
Yeah. Well, on a good note, the subways in New York are getting cleaner.
Are they getting cleaner?
They're sanitizing them. So if you smell a little bleach on the subway, that's why.
You've been, huh?
Yeah.
And you have to give me, I have the luxury of being able to walk mm-hmm. to work, which is mm-hmm. really good. I'm personally going to try and avoid public places.
Sure.
And I feel sorry for Broadway. I feel sorry for events.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of people are
is the time to get, you know,
they want to stay away from public
this
bathrooms.
This is the time to try and get your ticket for Hamilton or something if you haven't seen it.
Right.
Because,
right.
And there's less tourists coming to the city mm-hmm. too because people are canceling their trips.
Yeah.
I have about 5 or 6 trips planned this year, plane mm-hmm. trips. I'm hoping that I can go. So far, I haven't canceled any trips.
I've been
one of the tour
right.
Operators sent me an email for a fall trip and said, hey, if you mm-hmm. want to cancel, you can cancel some of our people or express some concern. And I don't know. I mean, if you cancel now, you could feel really foolish in the fall.
Well, I'll tell you
if and when it abates.
Next week, my sister is traveling from Geneva, Switzerland to here in New York to come home to visit.
Yeah.
She is also coming back here with her work laptop in case she can't go back
right.
in.
That's a good plan.
So that's her
plan
right now,
that's
according to her work.
You don't know.
I mean,
that's part of the uncertainty of traveling is, number one, are
I
you...
I said mom would love that, by the way.
Are you going to get sick on the plane? Because
yeah.
it just takes one person, you know, coughing and sneezing on the plane.
Because of that recirculated air.
Right. Or you know, and maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be fine. You know, by the way, the risk of getting a respiratory infection increases dramatically just with plane travel.
Yes.
You know.
Some people get a cold no matter how short the trip.
Yeah, because
on a plane,
the dry air in itself sort of paralyzes the defenses of the respiratory tract. Mm-hmm. But let's say you remain unscathed. But like, let's say you arrive in, you know, let's pick a place, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
You know, for you guys who want to go down for some sun, and then all of a sudden,
it's about 4 hours.
They say. You know, you stay there for a week, and all of a sudden, the situation gets really hairy in Puerto Rico.
Hmm.
And you're there, and then the United States says, well,
can't come back.
We don't accept flights from Puerto Rico. That's a hot spot.
Oh, wow.
Just like Iran mm-hmm. and China. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's going to get kind of nuts if that happens, is if we, you know, pull up the moat, so to speak, you know, like pulling up the drawbridge kind of thing, because mm-hmm. That is really going to have some very severe economic repercussions because we get a lot of products from, you know, foreign trade. We're very globalized.
This is
we're seeing the weakness of globalization.
Yeah.
Because before, you know, our communities were self-sufficient. You know, mm-hmm. we could raise our own crops.
It was all decentralized.
The farmer was like, a short ride out of town.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, where are you going to get your strawberries in March?
Right.
You know, where are you getting them? You're not getting them from, they're not growing in New Jersey.
Yeah. You know. In a vertical garden or hydroponically or something like that.
Yeah,
vertical garden's a great idea.
Yeah, no, that's one way,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I think it should prompt us to think about our supply of medicines because I mean, that's the other thing is people may die, not from the virus, but because they can't get into a hospital or they're reluctant to go to a hospital. That's the other mm-hmm. thing. I just did a thing on home births. Home births, according to a recent study, are very safe.
Yeah.
Why is that important now? If you're a healthy woman, you're going to go to the hospital now, and you say, like, in a few weeks, if the hospital is like a hotbed of coronavirus, you're going to want a home birth.
Yeah.
And so
call the midwife.
Yeah.
Like the series.
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, those are the kinds of considerations that'll prompt. Also medications.
Yeah.
It turns out we get 90% of either the whole prepared medication or the raw materials from the medication from China. That's a dependency that we can't afford.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be like saying,
that's a great point.
Oh, you know, we get all the, you know, all the materials for our tanks and missiles and, you know, bullets and, you know, from China.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, yeah, they got a chokehold on us.
Yeah.
You know, they just, but I think medically there is certainly that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, when it comes to electronics, I read an article about Apple. It's like Apple can't change their mode of production away from China, and they're not going to. They're going to wait this out.
They're going to wait this out. Too bad. They should be back here.
Well, they are experimenting.
Yeah.
They have like a plant in Austin, and they have something where the earbuds are assembled in Vietnam. But it's too complicated to move there. They're very labor-intensive and infrastructure-intensive mm-hmm. process. Mm-hmm. So they can't, you know. So, you know, the stock market, it's mm-hmm. going to do, you know, it's really going to take a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a potential for a huge rebound if we get good news about this in the next, probably we won't have the verdict on this for several weeks or months, but there may be a time where people say, what were we worried about? It's not such a big deal. You know, let's throw money into the stock market now because.
Yeah. It's a time to buy. It's a fire sale.
It's a buying opportunity.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
How long will it take?
Right. Speaking of medicines,
yeah.
Jean also says, to be on the safe side, I've ordered a few antiviral supplements.
Yes.
Elderberry, olive leaf.
It's a good theme.
Oil of oregano, just in case.
Those are all good. There's evidence that NAC may be preventive, and certainly if you have a fever and you're taking Tylenol, you really want to take NAC.
Mm-hmm.
Virucid is, I checked.
Great.
You can't get that. There's a run on immune supportive supplements.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. I posted
it. It's on back order now?
I'll show you.
Wow.
Look at this. I posted this on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
I'm showing Layla a picture of that I took
So things are backwards.
It's a screenshot that I took of the dispensary at Fullscript looking up some of the common antiviral products. And here's what it looked like as of last night.
Look at that.
Viracid, back ordered. Immunitone Plus, back ordered. Viracon, back ordered. Now, I wonder, you know, if part of that isn't that there may be some labeling issues, because you have a product called Viracid, and we're in the middle of a coronavirus epidemic. I wonder if they're not getting a letter from FDA stating that there's, I mean, they got to be careful, because it's like making a medical claim. Black elderberry syrup is still available. That's a good thing to take. There's some really good evidence that colds and flus are helped by elderberry. Let's see, oregano.
Olive leaf.
Olive leaf.
Up your vitamin C. Just up it. Take N-acetylcysteine anyway.
Selenium, zinc.
Yeah.
Vitamin A.
All of those.
D.
Wash your hands.
Yeah. And wash your hands, wash your hands. There was an interesting article, and I reviewed it for my radio show this weekend, which it was a mathematical modeling study. And what they said is that obviously airports are hotbeds for transmission of this.
Yeah.
And they said they coupled that fact. They said that certain airports are like nodes for transmission, like Tokyo Airport and Honolulu Airport and certainly the airports in China. And they said that if they could identify the 20 most hotbed airports, and if they could get people to simply wash their hands. Now, have you ever seen... I guess you didn't go through medical training where you... But you were at a hospital. Do you ever see a surgeon wash their hands?
Yes.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because they wash their hands for like a really long time. And then they take a scrub brush. They scrub
they
their nails. And then they take a little thing and there's like crud under their nails. They take it out. And they wash, they wash. It takes like 2 minutes. And then they hold their hands up, you know, and they get gloved.
Yes.
But it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So... they say wash your hands for 20 seconds. I try washing my hands for 20 seconds.
You have to sing happy birthday twice. That's 20 seconds typically.
That's good. I'll tell the tots in our family about that.
They can make a game out of it.
I find it really challenging to do.
Yeah. So, no, it can be because we get impatient. We want to, you know, get done. But, you know, I came into this office this morning and I went straight to the restroom. And I washed my hands before I did anything else.
That's good.
Yeah. Anything else. I had my gloves on the subway, but I don't care. Anytime I arrive here or arrive home or arrive wherever, my hands get washed.
I do that anyway.
Yeah.
I do that anyway. But, you know, I feel sorry for people who have disorders like obsessive compulsive disorder or germaphobes because they really take the brunt of this fear. You know, because they feel very, you know, intensifies their anxieties.
True.
And, you know, we all become germaphobes under these circumstances. I mean, a lot of people walking around with masks. The masks don't do much. You know.
And do you think those hand sanitizers that work against bacteria is having the same effect against this virus?
They don't work that well against viruses. They may wipe away some. They're partially effective. You see, like the pumps in my apartment building, they actually put one in the front of the building, like to prompt you to put some Purell on your hands, like in a bathroom. What appears to really be more effective is just soap and water, because the viral envelope is a lipid envelope, and it's actually breached when you use regular soap. You don't even have to use disinfectant soap.
Right.
Now, for a real disinfection, you can use diluted Clorox. Diluted. That's effective against bleaches. Betadine, which is iodine, but, you know, you're going to stink from iodine. What they do, you know, when they prep you for surgery. They swab with betadine. You know, it's a moving picture. So from week to week, somebody said that I seem to be minimizing it, and there's this week the more there's more bad information about it.
Yes.
It's a week later. It's the passage of time, and it is a developing story. You know, as of today, I'm apprehensive, but I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't spread more.
Yeah.
There are still
unless we just haven't heard about it.
There's still a, you know, a few dozen cases in the United States. There have been two deaths, but they're very immunosuppressed people, very elderly, and I think there was an outbreak in a nursing home. I feel sorry for those places because those places are. Here's the other thing: a lot of people are walking around now who are medically immunosuppressed, people who have had organ transplants, so many people who have rheumatoid arthritis, they have an autoimmune condition. We just saw
a
woman
who has immunosuppressants. Yes.
Has uveitis. Well, thanks to us, she's off her immunosuppressant medication.
She hasn't needed it now for a couple of years.
Just a natural treatment. Yeah. She's holding it at bay, which is great because she's in a better position to resist the virus than if she had actually deliberately lowered her immunity. But also, there's a lot of people now who have ordinary psoriasis. You see ads on TV for, if you have psoriasis, take this, it's immunosuppressant. If you have ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, these are immunosuppressant medications. If you have MS, often these medications are immunosuppressive. Yeah.
They say to be careful of tuberculosis when you're on some of these.
Like an infection that's really uncommon, you could get an uncommon infection, or you could get, you could go to the Arizona desert and you could get spores in your lungs and get some, you know, god awful, you know, some valley fever kind of thing that's caused by a fungal agent that ordinary people are resistant to. So those are the people that I worry about, and that's where I think we're going to see some potential danger. You know, otherwise, you know, I'm more worried about what it's going to do to screw up my logistics and plans. Is life going to become really uncomfortable? You know, where you're walking around paranoid that you're going to get something, or you know, will my vacation plans be disrupted?
What if you're stuck wherever you're going to at your destination?
Well, what if I'm going to the British Virgin Islands, so not a bad place to be stuck.
Oh yeah, they say go to the Caribbean, don't go to Europe.
Yeah.
Don't go to Asia.
Right. Well,
go to the Caribbean.
Italy's not happening right now. Yeah. So, and Asia's not happening.
Right.
You know, if I don't get back, I'll tell you what, I'll do, we'll Skype and we'll do Q&A with Layla.
We'll Skype. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh, hopefully it won't come to that.
All right.
Well, oh my goodness. So do we have time in this part for?
No, we have no time.
We have no time. This is part one.
Part one.
Update this on the coronavirus.
This constitutes part one. So let's, we also handled some of the questions and comments that related to coronavirus.
Yeah.
All right. In part two, shall we do a coronavirus-free?
Yes. Okay. We will.
Yeah.
We will.
Okay. So, forget about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Just let's pure escapism in part two. We'll we'll talk about other medical conditions to distract you.
From yes.
It's called Schadenfreude. You know, joy in the misfortunes of others. You can take your mind off coronavirus and hear about some other medical problems in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, radio program at AOL.com. It's the destination for questions. We'll be right back.